This podcast is brought to you by WeatherWorks XMWX Satellite Weather, the premier weather provider for pilots. More pilots trust XMWX Satellite Weather than any other satellite-delivered weather service. Known for its accuracy and reliability, XMWX Satellite Weather is leading the way to fly for pilots around the country, in flight and every flight.
Hi, this is Mary Grady from AvWeb, and today we're at Sun and Fun, and we're talking with Joe Norris, who's with the EAA, and we're going to talk about what's going on with the 51% rule. And this was a pretty big deal last year at Oshkosh. It was kind of an adversarial forum that we went to there between EAA and FAA, and a lot of home builders who weren't happy with what was going on about the new interpretation of the rules. And so this has all been percolating for a while now, and we have an update on what the status is of this with Joe. So, Joe, if you could just give us a little bit of your take on where we're at with this, go right ahead.
Sure. Thanks, Mary. After the meetings at Oshkosh last year, when they had given us the draft of their new documents that they wanted us to look at, they did get quite a bit of response from the membership, and some of it was critical of some of the things that they had done. So the FAA took it upon themselves to take a step back and open a comment period. They got over 2,000 public comments on the proposed documents, and the FAA says that some of them were very constructive comments with some good ideas. So what they did after that was they reconvened what they call an aviation rulemaking group, which is a group of FAA and industry and end users. EAA was involved in that. The kit manufacturers were involved in that, and a number of other people that had a stake in that program. And they went through the comments. They kind of categorized the comments and looked at some of the major issues that there were the people are commenting on, and then the FAA has gone back and they've incorporated some of those comments into the new policy, which will be released sometime just before AirVenture this year. What they had hoped to do this week was to have a report on that aviation rulemaking committee made public. Unfortunately, because of the change of the administration and the new FAA administrator that's coming into the agency now, they wanted to hold that report until the new administrator was able to review it, be briefed on it, and then they'll release that report. So that's probably going to be, depending on how quickly the administrator is approved, we'll see that report, which will be an official public document in the Federal Register that reports out on what the Aviation Rulemaking Committee discussed and decided. And from those comments, we'll be able to pretty much predict what's going to be in the new policy, which will come out in July. So it's kind of a little bit of a wait and see. The FAA was apologetic that they couldn't actually give us any real meat and potatoes today. It was more of a little bit of a review of what the process has been since last July, and kind of making it understood what their next steps are. But we really didn't have any news to come out of it other than the fact that we hope to see something soon as far as a general report and then the new policy to be released in July.
Okay, thanks. And once that new policy is issued, that's a done deal, right? It's not a new rule, but a new interpretation of the rule, and it's a final decision.
That's correct. What the policy does is it takes the basic rule, which is the regulation allowing amateur-built aircraft, which is not changing, but the policy is what is used by the inspectors in the field to interpret the rule and to apply the rule to the applications when the people come with their aircraft to make application for an airworthiness certificate. Once that's released in July, it will be the new policy. It will be in effect, and all of the people that are having aircraft certificated will be under the new policy. Now, there are some crossover where aircraft are going to be grandfathered in that were already on the approved FAA 51% list, will be grandfathered and not reevaluated under the new policy. So there's a little bit of crossover. Kits that are in process may be grandfathered to a certain degree. Again, we don't know the details, but there will be some kind of I don't want to call it a phase-in period, but there is going to be some pulling of that old policy up to the forefront and saying that certain kits are still approved under the old policy, certain kits will be approved under the new policy, but we'll at least know exactly what the rules are at that point, and everybody will go forward then knowing just what the new program is going to be.
Oh, okay. Now, are there impacts on the industry as during this waiting period, like it's not feasible for new designs to get approved and that kind of thing? What are the effects of having to wait for this new policy to come out?
Well, basically, yeah, the industry is a little bit of a holding pattern right now. Anybody that wasn't on the old list that was, they basically put a moratorium on adding new kits to the FAA's evaluation list just before they came out with a new policy, so that was back last summer. If your aircraft wasn't on the list at that time, they basically said, okay, we're not going to add any more kits to that list until the new policy is in place. So if a manufacturer had a new product they were getting ready to develop or to bring to market, they're basically waiting to see, you know, when this policy comes into effect so the FAA can start evaluating kits again. Now, the kits could still be sold, but they haven't been pre-approved, so to speak, by the FAA, so it's up to the individuals who are building those kits to make sure that they fit the 51% requirements. And sometimes it's kind of hard for an individual to do that, so a lot of individuals, in turn, are kind of waiting to see what's going to happen, and that's impacting the industry from the standpoint of some people have taken a wait-and-see attitude, and they're not going out and buying kits. So, of course, the kit manufacturers are kind of struggling with that, and with the economy like it is now, that's kind of a double whammy for some of them. So they definitely want to see this get done as quickly as they can so that they can get back to business.
Okay, so I guess the bottom line here is that we're kind of in a holding pattern here until July, probably just in time for Oshkosh Air Venture. We'll have some news and some time there to hash it all out. And is there anything else to this you think that our listeners need to know about?
No, I think that's correct. We're going to, either just before or during convention at AirVenture, we're going to get the final policy. At that point, everybody will know what the, you know, what the state of affairs is. I'm sure the FAA will be doing some presentations at AirVenture to really roll out the new policy and explain all of the changes and, you know, what changed, what remained the same, that kind of thing. So we're going to know what the game is at that point. But until then, we're all just going to kind of sit back and still continue the holding pattern to wait and see what's going to happen.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Joe. We appreciate your time. And again, this is Mary Grady with AFWEB at Sun and Fun in Lakeland, Florida.
Presented by Bose Aviation Headset 10, voted number one for the 8th consecutive year in Professional Pilots 2008 Annual Headset Preference Survey. Today's Aviation Headset 10 delivers a highly acclaimed combination of noise reduction, clearer audio, and comfort that remains unmatched. Learn more at Bose.com/headset.